on finding a path to greatness. Above all, begin paying attention to your mental well-being. Whatever is causing you harm, get away from it. If you think you can't get away from it, then find a relative that will take you in. If you don't have relatives, then you will have to talk to your best friend's parents. You can't stay in a place that is stressing you out. You need a place that is safe, a place where you can think and grow. And then begin thinking about building a company or a tiny business. At first, just for learning. Everyone says it is not easy. People say they get burned out, overworked. But that is the wrong approach. You need to be whole. There is a little passage in the Ranger Creed that nobly emphasizes just that. Never shall I fail my comrades. I will always keep myself mentally alert, physically strong and morally straight, and I will shoulder more than my share of the task, whatever it may be, 100% and then some. Mentally alert means you take care of your mind, that you are rested, that you are free. Do not let mediocrity, liars, cheaters, pretenders hurt your mind. You have to be mentally alert, mentally well enough to easily go above and beyond. Take good care of yourself. Please allow me to make a note here. I'll make it brief. People are stressed out by fake education, and more drugs are becoming accessible. Furthermore, there may be schools that in their evil will attempt to diagnose people with states of mind that wouldn't exist if it wasn't for the insanity of the school itself. Sir Ken Robinson called an unusually high number of prescriptions for ADHD a sign of a fictitious epidemic. And fake schools will cause depression in a healthy mind. That is how it works. If schools start medicating the kids they depressed, then even if you want school, get out. Get out as fast as you can. And remember, liars are never obvious. Liars always live in the twilight. There will be no proof. No evidence, just better grades and better profits. Be careful. It is that kind of a world. Mental well-being is number one. Number two is somewhat related, especially if you are in middle school or high school. The first thing you need is an upgrade on your view of the world. The way you inherit a more sophisticated intellectual culture is audiobooks. They are not free. They should be free for people under 21. There's no one book. It will take over 100 audiobooks just to get started. And you know this. This one is not easy. It may take a few years. With 100 books, you will create a self-balancing view of the world, and in the process, inherit character traits from many of your favorite authors. Intellectual inheritance is just another way of saying growing up by reading books, by learning new experiences. This is one of the reasons why you need a safe place, a safe space, so that you may grow up uninterrupted by things that are not worthy of you. There is one sure way to accelerate your intellectual growth, but you need three or more friends, at least, and you need to be in your 20s or up. And that is taking to the trails. Don't do this alone, please. In the United States, we have the Appalachian Trail and the Pacific Crest Trail. Bring your audiobooks, bear spray, and an air horn. Bears don't like loud sounds. Bring your journal and grow. The biggest problems you face when you are young is a smaller grasp on self-awareness. This is a function of our brain still growing and the genetic predispositions to follow orders, to follow what your teachers tell you, for example. You are also building a view of the world, and stuff that isn't real is kind of polluting it. So schools are forcing you into memorization, and each semester you have little to show for it. Especially if you ask yourself, what if I just spent 5 months learning how to use a digital audio workstation? Well, you would then be able to compose music, probably in just the first week, really. By the 5th month, you would be publishing your 2nd album on Bandcamp, maybe your 5th. And with some advertising, you could probably make more than $100 a month. Knowing that semesters give you little, and that you can probably do a lot more if you focus on one thing and learn it well, you tell yourself that schools are important. I need schools because schools get me to college and perhaps med school. You may not need to, but you probably don't go as far as pondering the $241,000 unforgivable student loan debt, because you can probably just pay it off after you get the job. This is why you need 100 of those audiobooks. It's really important. For example, if you want to be a doctor, then in your first 100 books, 10 will be about becoming one, and a couple about the regrets of becoming one. But it is more than just shining light on your career. It is about shining light on the way you make choices. You can't jump forward. You have to move precisely, deliberately. You have to be informed. You have to start in high school to be a doctor, for example. You have to love it. It has to call to you. You may do part-time at a veterinary clinic and maybe work at a retirement home. Just waiting for med school to make you a doctor is not enough. You have to love making your way there. It has to inspire you, fuel you. It has to make you happy. Self-awareness means that you know where you are and you know a clear and stable path towards the future. And no, that path may not include 26-hour days at any point. Your mental well-being must come first. In terms of becoming a doctor, everything that is covered in the first 2 years of med school, you have to cover on your own in the first 2 years of high school. It's just a function of curiosity. That's where you are going. That's where your life is taking you. It's not really so much as learning, but as absorbing all the information that you need. Way early on, something inspired in you has to ask, what is MCAT and MLE about? What are the questions? What are the subjects? And then you go shopping for a microscope and might as well pick up a stethoscope and take interest in the health of your gerbil or poor cat. In other words, in terms of becoming a doctor, memorization will be required, even though it is not effective and kind of stupid. And if you take to using what you memorized without double checking, then you will get in trouble. Just as a side note, the right way of doing this is not to memorize, but to love so many things about the field that you immediately absorb new information. Sometimes with tears in your eyes as you deep down know you made a huge breakthrough. Which means you don't need to memorize it anymore. You will never forget it. And sometimes with passionate anger at all the idiots that made it too confusing for you because they clearly didn't know what they were talking about. In terms of a more open future, where we just say to ourselves, I'll just get a good job after I graduate college, it is a different story because now you are looking at $32,000 to $50,000 in debt and memorizing things that you will forget when you start your job. You know when police stops you and asks you, do you know what you did wrong? To get you to admit to whatever it is to make their job easier and a fool out of you? Jobs do the same thing. They will say entry position, experience required, so that during the interview, they can say, we can't pay you that much because you do not have the experience we asked for. In this situation, self-awareness translates to asking, do I want to work for such a company? Do you want to work for a company that is already trying to take advantage of you? After 4 years of high school and 4 years of college, and with $32,000 to $50,000 of unforgivable debt, plus your credit cards and other tricks, you are now being insulted on your happy interview day. You need to consider this, and you need to consider what it is like to work in a cubicle for the rest of your life. Not only are you looking at 8 years of school, but about 80 years of working in a box, or worse, an open space where you can hear all the mouth breathers. Self-awareness means intercepting mistakes before they happen. Again, only renowned audiobooks by good narrators, written by highly respected and loved authors, will help you with this. At least 100 books. There's a video of the Stanford commencement address that Steve Jobs gave in 2005 that you may wish to see. Despite what Mr. Jobs says about the dots, you can connect them. It is the job of you increasing your self-awareness with books to connect them. You do not go forward into the future merely trusting your gut or destiny, life, karma, whatever, because the world is full of people that will take advantage of that blind expectation. So you absolutely need to take care of your mental well-being and expansion of your self-awareness by listening to dozens and dozens of audiobooks highly valued by their readers all across the world. Even by just watching how Steve Jobs carries himself, how he talks about college tuition, where he is gently and in a very classy way peeling apart that fraud, it is the first and foremost thing he brings up because he rejects and refuses to be part of it. To name a few of my most influential figures: Sir Ken Robinson, Astra Taylor, Bill Bryson, Richard Dawkins, Sam Harris, P.Z. Myers, Lawrence Krauss, Lord Martin Rees, Jill Tarter, Seth Shostak, Alex Filipienko, Sean Carroll, Jared Diamond, Howard Zinn, Brené Brown, Ayaan Hirsi Ali, Daniel Dennett, Christopher Hitchens, Noam Chomsky. There's this one talk by Richard Dawkins that I really, really like. There's a video entitled Richard Dawkins, the God Delusion Q&A at Liberty University. Liberty University is a private evangelical Christian university in Lynchburg, Virginia. That Q&A was destined for greatness. A young lady poses a question, what if you are wrong? And this is my private opinion. I think she was aiming at Pascal's wager, but Richard Dawkins' response was a lot more elaborate than shooting fish in a barrel. Search the internet for a video entitled Philosophy, Religion, Pascal's Wager for more information on Pascal's ideas, which also include a bespectacled cartoon kitty named Richard Pawkins. And between you and I, the gambit is shut down with an argument for authenticity. If someone believes something purely for personal gain, then they can't be invited to a serious discussion. But the Pascal's Wager interpretation of what this humble young lady's asking about is just my personal opinion, and Richard Dawkins takes it his own way, which resulted in a wonderfully animated Richard Dawkins in a South Park cartoon. I love that little smile of accomplishment at the end, but more than that, I love the audience. The sound of the audience at Liberty University tells me that we are still headed for the stars. But again, the reason I bring this up in no uncertain terms is the following. Inheritance of class and culture and expansion of our awareness of the world and how we fit in it. Just observing the way that Richard Dawkins carries himself and hearing the cheer and laughter by all the wonderful people in the audience helped me expand my personal view of the world. Here is another side of Richard Dawkins, and even more giggles, a two-part extravaganza. Part one, hate emails with Richard Dawkins, and the second batch, love letters to Richard Dawkins. Search the internet videos for Richard Dawkins in 1991 presenting Growing Up in the Universe, a series of five lectures held at the Royal Institution in London. Royal Institution Christmas lectures are a great tradition and a great honor. Here, scientists present science in a way that opens doors for those who are new to it. It is also of some note that he created an hour and a half long documentary entitled The God Delusion. You can really see what it means to be a great being and hope to help the world progress forward. Richard Dawkins is one of many people that will help you with your awareness. When you are stuck cramming for tests, you can ask, what would Richard do? Would he sit here pretending to get educated? Would he try to change the schools, talk to the principal, or give a set of banned lectures on how the school only cares that all the teachers get paid? And if you are into science, I hope you have a daydream about presenting your science of choice at the Royal Institution Christmas lectures someday. Number one is mental well-being. Number two is view of the world, the view of yourself in relation to the world, and class and foresight. And number three is business. We all have different interests. It is tough to give general business advice, but setting up a laboratory where you can tutor med students, helping them see through a microscope or a visualization what they are attempting to blindly memorize, If you are inclined towards science, then programming languages can be used as a kind of microscope. You can examine any complex system or theory by writing a tiny simulation or implementation. And if you are not sure where you are going, then begin writing a science journal. Let other scientists publish or peer review, and you can stay in the field without having to work 26-hour shifts for $300. Remember, number one, your well-being is most important. Unconstrained by any field in particular, you can do everything. For one, 3D printing is awesome, and you can find it online as a service too. You can sculpt in clay, 3D scan it, and then miniaturize it, and then open up a little jewelry store on Shapeways. You can open up a first-person view drone racing circuit, and perhaps have a yearly competition for totally automated drones only. With an office projector and some plywood sheathing, you can begin painting 8-foot murals. Follow the old masters. Create the gray version of your painting first, and then add color glaze to achieve perfect portraits every time. Remember, to desaturate a color, you mix it with the one opposite on the color wheel. There's an exception for the primaries. You mix it with the full triad. Secondary colors already consist of two colors, so you just add the opposite, and that makes a triad. As with science, you must be led by your passion. Everything you do must be inspired. When you are inspired, you are driven by enough information in your mind to have no need for memorization. You simply integrate the new to the great library within you. While I can't show you the direction you must move towards to create your business, there's a guiding idea that will help you along. A self-published, full-color book that serves as your portfolio. It will contain your design sketches and photographs of your complete works. This will help you sell new products or get clients or get hired by a large company. I think Aiko Ishioka, the costume designer behind Bram Stoker's Dracula, is a perfect example of an artist and an entrepreneur. She published her costume designs in a beautiful book and got hired to work on Dracula, and won the 1993 Oscar for it. In closing, your mental well-being must come first. And then you have to grow. As soon as you are ready to expand your horizons, read, listen, and explore. Begin making your way into the cultures of great beings by reading their books, by admiring their works, by learning from them. Schools will forever be a prosthetic, even if they do transform into a personalized education experience. You need to pursue an independent plan on top of everything else that is going on, because only you can guarantee your own future. It has always been in your hands. And never forget, you are meant to become a great being. Do not let anyone stop you.